जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन यशोर नंदन जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वन चारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जन यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वन चारी, यमुना तीर वन चारी, हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, Hari Ramu, Hari Ramu, Ramu Ramu, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna, Hari Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ramu, Hari Ramu, Ramu Ramu, Hari Hari, Hari Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परवचकाचार्य आस्तुत श्री श्रीमान हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। इस्कॉन फाउंडर आचार्य श्रील प्रभुपाद की जाय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जाय। नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की जाय। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरी गौर भक्त वृंद की जाय। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जाय। वृंदावन धाम की जाय। मायापुर नवद्वीप की जाय। जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जाय। गंगा माई की जाय। यमुना माई की जाय। तुलसी देवी की जाय। भक्ति देवी की जाय। श्री प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशनल बुक डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जाय। प्रसादम डिस्ट्रीब्यूशन की जाय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज एंड ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंगा श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Okay, so today we will do together third canto, 17th chapter, and the 19th verse, for those of you who have a book or have a cell phone. So we'll start with the, let's see what I have first. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. This is text number 19 for those of you. 19. Chakre Hiranyakashipu Dorbyam Brahmavarena cha Vashesapala Lokanstrin Akuto Mityor Udhataha Chakre Hiranyakashipu Dorbyam Brahmavarena cha Vashesapala Lokanstrin Akuto Mrityo Udhataha Chakre Hiranyakashipur Dorbyam Brahmavarena cha Vashesapala Lokanstrin Akuto Mrityo Udhataha Chakre Hiranyakashipu Yeah. Anyone else? Thank you. Sit. Anyone else? Synonyms: Chakra, maid, Hiranyakashipu. It's a name of a demon named Hiranyakashipu. Yeah, you can say demon Hiranyakashipu. Basically, I'm just naming him. That's all it says here. Adorbiyam, by his two arms. Brahmavarena, by the benediction of Brahma. Cha, and Vashei, under his control. Sapalan, along with their protectors, Lokan, the worlds, Trin, three, Akutaha, Mrityu, fearing death from no one, Udataha, puffed up. Okay, now move ahead to the actual translation. Figure the synonyms, okay, and then the purport. Translation: the elder child. Anybody know who the elder child is? Was it Hiranyaksha or Hiranyakashipu? The one who entered the womb first is considered the elder child, and that is Hiranyakashipu. He was unafraid of death from anyone within the three worlds because he received a benediction from Lord Brahma. He was proud and puffed up due to this benediction and was able to bring all three planetary systems under his control. That's it. So we'll go now to the purport by Srila Prabhupada. Oh, it's better this way. As will be revealed in later chapters, Hiranyakashipu underwent severe austerity and penance to satisfy Brahma and thus received a benediction of immortality. Actually, it is impossible even for Lord Brahma to give anyone the benediction of becoming immortal. But indirectly, Hiranyakashipu received the benediction that no one within this material world would be able to kill him. So it's got a condition there. It's in anyone in the material world, it says. The Lord desired to appear. Did I skip a line? Oh, thank you. Yes. In other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha, he was not to be killed by anyone within this material world. The Lord desired to appear himself to kill him. Yeah, the Lord wanted to kill Hiranyakashipu for various reasons, as we will get as we come to the end of this purport. It's mentioned by Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. The Lord desired to appear himself to kill him. He wasn't going to let anybody else do that. He wanted the pleasure of killing a big-time demon and letting the world know that there is no demon big enough, great enough, strong enough to defeat the Supreme Lord. Sometimes people get this idea. One may be, is this right, Archita? One may be very proud, yeah? One may be very proud of his material advancement in knowledge, but he cannot be immune to the four principles of material existence, namely birth, death, old age, and what's the last one? Good. It was the Lord's plan to teach people that even Hiranyakasipu, who was a powerful and strongly built, so powerful and strongly built, could not live more than his destined duration of life. So no matter what he wanted, what he planned would never come to pass, because the Lord already had a plan, and that plan included the death of Hiranyakasipu. In other words, it was a lose-lose-lose situation for Hiranyakasipu, but he didn't think so. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakasipu. Would somebody like to give an illustration of a puffed up person like Hiranyakasipu? Raise your hand, I'll call you. Well, give me an example. How does a puffed up person, because that's just a description, but give an example. If you were Hiranyakasipu, how would you act? One sentence, two sentences is fine with me. Nobody knows how a puffed up person would be. Everybody is pure, perfect. Well, you know, maybe somebody from outside should take this seat, because I'm not. Anyway, yeah. Strongly built. Could not live more than his destined duration of life. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakasipu and bring under his control all the three worlds, the lower planetary system, middle planetary system, and upper planetary system. But there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty, what he won, his money, his gold, you know, his silver, his furniture. You can't keep it. You can play with it, you can romance it, but eventually you have to leave it, whether you like to or not, and that's the way it goes. So therefore, it is said in our philosophy, don't get attached to any of the things in this material life. How can we be attached? It belongs to Krishna. How can we take anything away from Krishna when he's so much more powerful than we are? So the best thing is to take the position of total surrender. I own nothing, I have nothing. Whatever exists belongs to the Lord. Whatever is taken away was taken away with the Lord's allowance or permission. So basically, I have no power outside of what God gives me, because he's the supreme power. And that's a good thing to remember, because then we never get to the point. And that was poor, but anyway. We get to the point. Is that, I don't know if he's approving or disapproving. Somebody can go out and soft soap him. Oh, someone is. Thanks, Savas Prabhu. I don't know if he's going out for that, though. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakasipu and bring under his control all three worlds, but there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty forever. You have to give it up. At the time of death, you leave your booty. The booty means all you've acquired, all you've accomplished, all that's, that you think is yours, which is not, which actually belongs to Krishna. And sometimes it even belongs to your brother or your son. Yeah, it can. But the important point is to realize what's truly important is that everything belongs to Krishna. And all we can do is serve him in such a way that he will be pleased to continue enabling us and helping us to become God-realized. One may become as strong and puffed up as Hiranyakasipu and bring under his control all the three worlds, but there is no possibility of continuing life eternally or keeping the conquered booty forever. So many emperors have ascended to power, and they are now lost in oblivion. They don't even know they had these wonderful, whatever you want to call them, which they call here, buddhi. Buddhi means something that you now think you own. And you have it, you show it to your friends, you show it to your children, you celebrate your glory, you make sure everybody knows you're great. This is madness. So the point of this purport is that we should not be mad like so many people are. The madness means, what do you mean? What are you talking about? It's not mine. I worked for it. I paid for it. And you're saying it's not mine? I said, no, it belongs to the original owner, and that is Krishna. Yeah, but where is he? He's where you now cannot go. And you later may not go. Best thing to do is to serve him, and don't worry about where he is. If you're a good boy or a good girl, he'll make sure that you find out where he is. Okay, so. So that's the purport, and I'd like to mention a few things in this wonderful purport, really. In fact, this whole chapter is super. I think of it as a movie. It has so many twists and turns in it, so many things that you don't expect. And that's what makes actually a good movie, when something comes up which you never expected to happen, and when it does happen, you say, why didn't I think about that? But that's because we didn't write the script. If you did, maybe you would. So as it mentions over here, Hiranyakashipu underwent severe austerities and penance to satisfy Brahma. He wanted to be immortal. If he couldn't be directly immortal, then he could be indirectly immortal. Indirectly means that no one in the material world could kill him. And that's about it. Actually, as it says over here, it's impossible even for Lord Brahma to give anyone the benediction of becoming immortal. But indirectly, Hiranyakasubu received the benediction so that no one within this material world would be able to kill him. In other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha, anybody like to explain that? That Hiranyakasubu received the benediction that no one within this material world would be able to kill him. And then it says, in other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha, we're talking now about Hiranyakashipu. How did he originally come from Vaikuntha? You can, if you want to guess, it's okay. As long as it's not so far out. Okay. Anyway, what it really means here is, as we know, that as it says to this material, would be able to kill him. In other words, because he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha. Well, he was one of the two doorkeepers, Jaya and Vijaya, okay? So he was one of the two doorkeepers, and the door that he had is the seventh level. So, therefore, and his job was doorkeeper. He opened the door and he closed the door. And one day when the four Kumaras, they were little boys, they looked like 5 years old, no clothes on, just walking around. And so Jaya and Vijaya said, what are these kids doing here? They didn't know who they really were. These were not just kids. These were one of the greatest sages, among the greatest sages living. Brahma knew it, but the others didn't know it. So therefore, the important point was that, as it says over here, he originally came from the abode of Vaikuntha. He had a job in Vaikuntha. The job was opening and closing the door. So when he said to the four Kumaras, he says, no, you can't come in, you're just little squirts. Little guys, get out of here. You know, little kids, they shout, they run around. You see them in this prasadam room sometimes. And the parents say, no. So they don't want to obey. They like the idea of their independence, so-called. So that's what happens. And It was the Lord's plan to teach people that even Hiranyakashipu, who was so powerful, so strong, so invincible, so invulnerable, could not be made eternal. He didn't have eternal life. The only semblance of eternal life was that nobody could kill him, and that was it. So as it says, it was so powerful and strongly built, he could not live more than his destined duration of life. And that's pretty much for all of us. We have a destined duration life based upon our karma, meaning the activities we did in our past life, which were favorable to Krishna's laws, or unfavorable. If they were unfavorable, you got punished. And if they were favorable, then you got some reward. So, therefore, this is all in Krishna's loving hands. He can give you pain, and he can give you pleasure. And the most important thing is for the devotee not to care what he's going to get. As long as it's coming from Krishna, who's the greatest of the greatest, the highest of the highest, I'm getting the good stuff, nothing bad. So as long as the devotee has that kind of an attitude, then he doesn't have to worry about anything. He knows it's ultimately coming from Krishna. Even if he gets a slap on the face, gets a kick in the backside, or gets pushed, gets talked about as being no good, as doing wrong things, this and that, a really great devotee, I mean, I'm talking about a really good one, who doesn't care about those things. All he cares about is, what's my next service to Krishna? And if people want to knock me down, they want to talk about me, they want to look down at me, they want to say, hey, you know, you forgot this and that on in the verse, he doesn't care. He doesn't take it personally. He just takes it as a simple criticism and moves ahead. That's when you realize and you know and you understand that you don't own anything. And when you know everything belongs to Krishna, all the praises that you get belong to Krishna. Why belong to Krishna? Because he gave us the ability. He gave us the understanding. He gave us the love. He gave us the encouragement. He gave us the enthusiasm, his enthusiasm, to do all the things we did. So if we have this idea, without Krishna, I can do nothing. That's what real surrender is. Surrender is the ability to realize that really, without Krishna, we don't really exist. With Krishna, we have a full and true and loving life. So, therefore, really nothing to worry about in this. How many would like to live eternally in this material world? Or would you like to get out of it, like so many people? I saw wow, that went up fast. Must have had good meditation. Anybody like to get out of this material world? Okay, well, you did it already. You got two check marks. Okay. Who else? I miss it. Anybody else? Yeah. You want to get out? Okay. You want to get out? Anybody else want to get out? Well, we won't have any class then. You want to get out again? Two times. Okay. We'll have all the doors open so you can't escape. So that's nice, though. In one sense, we shouldn't want to stay here because everything here is polluted. Everything here has evil and bad and no good written on it. And that's what we become. As Prabhupada so nicely said, that if we associate often with persons who deliberately like to perform evil acts or evil words or evil thoughts, that's what yours will become. It goes automatically. And therefore, we must be very much aware of who we're associating with, what those people are saying whom we're associating with, and is it in the best interest of us to associate with those persons when there may be better choices which will help us to, as we just said, we want to go back to Godhead, we don't want to hang out here. So, persons who are very much on the path, and are not very proud and puffed up. So here it's mentioned that because Hiranyakashipu was Hiranyakashipu was so strong and so powerful and capable, knowledgeable, and no one could defeat him except Krishna, of course, but no human being, no materialist could defeat him. So he became very much what we call puffed up. This is the biggest threat to a devotee, that he does something well, he does something good, he does something even great, and he's praised, he's honored, he's glorified, he's looked up to. A devotee who's truly understands his philosophy never thinks that he is the doer. He thinks that this is being done by the mercy of Krishna through him. And if the mercy of Krishna is being going through us, then who does he have to be thankful for? To Krishna, of course. Sometimes people will praise us. I get this often for my CDs and things like that. So they say, oh, I just heard it. You know, I was taking a ride home from wherever, and I just couldn't stop listening to the CC, you know, when he was on the Ratha Yatra. Lord Chaitanya dances at Ratha Yatra. And he said, well, you had all these different voices here. Well, where did you get them? I said, well, I was doing that from the age of 6 years old, so it's not unusual that a person who's been doing something since his 6 year will not be able to do it maybe in his 12th year, if, in fact, he was doing this every year. And that's pretty much what it is. And when people give this praise, the praise in my heart, in my mind, goes to Krishna. And to that, depending on the devotee, sometimes the devotee don't want to hear that. But the devotee who is truly understanding of who the real doer is will be happy to hear this. So he says, wow, I love the way you did that female voice. It was so sexy. So I said, well, what do you expect from me? I said, but how do you get that? I said, I listen very carefully. And if you listen carefully, you can get the volume, the timbre, the characteristic sound. You can get the speed. You can get all these things, but you have to listen very carefully. If you don't listen carefully, it will not sound like that particular person. So anyway, it's no great thing if a person can do somebody's voice. I used to do Prabhupada's voice, and then too many people told me to shut up and stop. We'd prefer to hear Prabhupada on the tape or on the mic. I said, okay, I'm just trying to liven things up a little bit, that's all. So anyway, that's what happened. And if we realize that whatever we have, whatever we've been given, whatever we know, whatever we understand, whatever we chances we get to help others, this is all being provided by the Lord Krishna, giving us a chance to become better devotees, as devotees, as helpers, as aides, as cooks, as so many different things. So Krishna is so great. Sometimes we forget that Krishna is so gracious. He's so kind. He's so generous. He's so loving. He's so sweet. He's doing all this. And we're thinking, you know, we're doing it. We forget. He's doing it. He's making it available. How many people ate today? Well, we didn't have breakfast yet, so it's nobody ate. But generally, after this, most of the devotees have breakfast and they eat. And let me tell you, once you eat the breakfast here, you can't eat till 2:30 to 3:30 next. It's just too good and it's too filling. So I don't say that the temple should cut down, not at all. In fact, this is the way we gained many devotees, just by cooking such delicious, delightful, delectable food, prasadam. So therefore, it's very wonderful that we can have all this as Krishna's wonderful mercy. We should ask ourselves, am I so great? Am I so good? Am I so glorious? Am I so wonderful that I should receive all these things? I walk outside, it's so nice and snuts today, but it's generally often sunny. We've had such beautiful weather, and breezes blowing, and people smiling at us, people patting us on the back. It's a great place. Even if you're not good, people tell you you're good. So I'm not saying that you should relish that. I'm simply saying that it's nice that people are considerate of what we do, because when they are considerate of what we do, it tells us to be more considerate of what others do, so that we are truly in their heart as well as they are in our heart. So this is the all-important point, that to remember that whatever we own, we don't own. It's owned by Krishna. Okay? Anybody disagree with that? Great. Whatever we own or we think we own is owned by Krishna. Or whatever we possess or whatever we love, it's all owned by Krishna. And once we understand that, if somehow it disappears, if somehow someone takes it away, if somehow we don't have it anymore, as it says over here, it goes into oblivion, it doesn't matter to us, because it's not ours. And if it's not ours, then it's okay, because it's Krishna's. Maybe it went back to Krishna. And who's to say I can't get another one? So our position should be one of non-attachment. Non-attachment means everything I have belongs to the Lord, and if anyone steals it or takes it away, that was Krishna's wonderful arrangement. He could have prevented it, but he saw I was getting too attached, so he didn't prevent it, and therefore he let me feel a little sorrow from the disassociation from that particular object or item. So we are all very, very persons who have gotten excellent destiny, meaning this place. It's so wonderful, so glorious, and to see these great deities, and to be able to worship these great deities, all this is a blessing to us. And if we see it as that and not something that is due to us, because I'm doing a little devotional service, therefore the Lord owes me something. No, he doesn't owe anything. We owe the Lord for so many wonderful and good and glorious, nice things. The air we breathe, the sunshine that comes, the food that we eat, the prasadam that we eat, the associates that we have, all that is wonderful and glorious, and we don't deserve it because we've all committed a certain amount of offenses and sins, wrongs, no goods. But Krishna says, as long as you keep trying, I don't care about all those other things. They will disappear as long as you keep trying to be a better devotee. And I will keep trying to help you become that better devotee. So we can see, Krishna doesn't hold it against us, but he does want us to improve. And if we don't make any effort to try to improve, Krishna lets us know we're not making enough effort. I won't go into that, how he lets us know, but I will say it's a little painful. Okay? So I'm going to stop now. Again, thank you all for listening. It was a pleasure sharing this with you. And if any of you have some questions or have any comments, please feel free to do so. And I'll do my very best to say yes. And that's it. And anyone want to say anything? No? You all agree with me? That's terrible. No good. You shouldn't be agreeing. There must be something wrong. My mother always told me I had plenty of things wrong. And anyway, have a wonderful day, a glorious day, a lovable day, and may Krishna bless you all with lots and lots of excellent gifts and blessings. Okay? Hare Krishna. Jai.
Thank you.